Hello.
Hello.
You are listening to the KGFC Festival Talks podcast. I'm your host, Craig Horsley, and we are coming to you from the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema, and that's running from August 3rd to August 12th at the UA Midway in Forest Hills. That's Continental Avenue and Queens Boulevard. And also at the Queens Museum, located in Flushing Meadow, Corona Park. That's the home of the 1965 World's Fair and the beautiful, iconic Unisphere. So today, we are talking to Tamara Rupert. And she has a beautiful beautiful film that's being shown on August 8th at 3:30 p.m. at the UA Midway. And it's called?
It's called Path of Dreams, yes, today at 3:30.
It's really, I have to say it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. It's wonderful cinematography. The colors, everything about it is just really fantastic. I don't like to talk about the movie because I don't want to give anything away, so I'd like you to describe the film.
So Path of Dreams is inspired by the legend of Japanese poet and beauty Onono Komachi, who wrote sort of scandalous, sensual poetry back in the Heian period in Kyoto. So this is inspired by one of the legends about her and one of her suitors. This suitor wants to be with her, and she challenges him to a vow to write poetry with her for 99 nights. And after that, she will take him as her lover. And so this film, we see them at a few different points in time over the 100 days, and we end on the 100th day.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And it is in Japanese, but it's wonderfully subtitled.
Yes, it's in Japanese.
At the perfect time of the subtitles, because sometimes people subtitle and you're rushing or rewinding, but you did a great job with the subtitling.
Thank you. Yes, and it's a little hard with poetry also.
Yes.
So...
And you're originally from Forest Hills, you said?
Yes, I'm from Forest Hills.
So, Japan. How?
I went to college in North Carolina and decided to teach English in Japan after that. I didn't really want a regular job. I wanted an adventure, and I had to get paid. So I taught English in Niigata, Japan, and it changed my life. I was there for a little bit over a year and fell in love with the language and the culture. And I had been a theater major in college, and I never could dream that somehow I would be able to marry my love of storytelling and Japan, but I've been able to do it.
And so you directed this, you came up with the story.
Yes,
and
sort
you
of.
And you have co-writers.
So I did the officially we did the story I did the story with the writer Valina Hassa Houston, but I originally learned about the legend when I read Romulus Linney's play Three Poets. That's Laura Linney's father. He was a very famous playwright who passed away a few years ago. And the play Three Poets, as I discovered it in graduate school at the New School, and it's three acts, and each act is about a different female playwright in a different point in time at a different place in the world. So act three is called Komachi. So that's how I first read her story, and that play actually is all in poetry, which is very, very difficult to direct and dissect. So when Valina and I wanted to do a film together, she said, you know, what would you like to write about? And I said, oh, this legend was really cool, but I really would like to sort of have a different way into the story. So we both researched all the different legends about her, read all of her poetry, and, you know, found the poems that we both loved and found the legends, the pieces of the legends that we liked, and created this very simple love story. So I think it lends itself well to a short film.
It's really beautiful. And any of the writers Japanese? Or?
So Valina Hassa Houston is half Japanese and half African American. Her mother is from Japan, and her father was serving when he met her mother. So she was raised in Kansas and sort of, you know, has a foot in each culture. So she... has many, many published plays, and she lives in Los Angeles and speaks Japanese. She's sort of like me. She has a love for both cultures.
Okay. So you're living in L.A. now.
Yes.
How long had it been since you were in Japan last before this was filmed?
So I lived in Japan in 2000 and 2001, and then I was back a few years after that. And then I started going back regularly when I was starting to location scout for this film. So it had been about 10 years. Maybe a little bit less, and then I went on three different location scouting trips. We went to Akita Prefecture, which is where Onono Komachi is from, and she ended up living and passing away in Kyoto, but we didn't want to shoot there. And then we ended up going to Niigata, which is where I lived in Japan, and that's where we ended up shooting the film.
Okay. When you think about the development of Japan, it's amazing that you found a spot that's so tranquil and traditional looking.
Yes, it was very challenging because we wanted the world of the film is set in a poetic age. So it's not, we wanted the locations to be kind of authentic Heian period, but the language is actually modern Japanese, where it should have been our equivalent to Shakespeare. But we wanted the language to be modern, and then the costumes are the thing that really show us that we're in this poetic age. The costumes sort of live in their own world, where a nod to the old and a nod to the modern. So the locations were very, very important to have us feeling like we're in this ancient world of poetry. And we really spent so much time looking, and it was so nice because this garden where we ended up shooting served as her house. It served as the entryway to her house. It served as part of the interior for his house. And then we had to shoot at a shrine nearby. And then we did all the horse and the stunt stuff
right. In
the woods and tried not to start a fire. So it was really fortunate that we were at the garden for most of the shoot.
That opening scene where you have the film going through that archway. Wow.
And we're the first movie to ever shoot there.
Well, they're going to be getting a lot more after people are seeing this.
I know. It's extraordinary. It really is extraordinary.
So now, being in L.A., you've been involved with films before? Or?
So my day job has been in television, and it took me almost 5 years to get this film made, to raise all of the money and to do a location scouting trip and assemble the right team. So actually, three of the people from my day job came and worked on the film. And I worked on this for 5 years, and then we're developing. We have two feature films, Valina and I have two feature films ready to go, and then we have a third that we're developing. So yeah, it takes a long time to make these films.
Yes.
We have many, many things going at once.
And working in L.A. and now doing this in Japan, what, any unexpected challenges doing this in a different country?
Oh, well, that was part of the reason I really wanted, we could have shot this in L.A. It would have probably cost about $100,000, though, because the locations in L.A. that are Japanese are so precious, and they want you to pay a lot for that. But I really felt like the heart of the story was in Japan, and that's part of the reason we also had the language in Japanese. But one of the feature films that we have coming up, we want to shoot in Japan, so this was sort of a get our feet wet, see how we did, on a smaller scale. They don't have unions in Japan, so we shot, our last day was a 23-hour day, our second to last day was a 22-hour day. We shot 75 hours over 4 days. It was really grueling. That's how they do it there.
Right.
It's really, lightning speed, last minute. Warner Brothers gave us our props for free, which was amazing. But when we shipped all of the props over, the swords were obviously they're fake, but they looked so good, they got stopped at customs.
Mm.
So we had no swords. I showed up in Tokyo, and they're like, all the swords got rejected. So at the last minute, we had to go find swords. So there are a lot of challenges last minute. It also snowed the morning that we were starting to shoot, and
wow.
We were, obviously, there's cherry blossom petals everywhere,
yes.
so it's supposed to be spring. There was a lot that happened last minute, but, it all comes together.
And where did you find your actors? Are they from Japan, or did you bring them over from L.A.?
Aidy Kido is from L.A. She was in the TV show Girls, won a couple of episodes when they were in Tokyo. So she speaks English, but she's based in Tokyo. And then our lead actor is actually from New York, but he's of Japanese descent, and he came to the Path of Dreams shoot and basically has not come home. He's been working a lot in Tokyo, which is good for him.
And they're Japanese speakers, I guess.
Yes, they
okay.
speak Japanese and English, which was helpful.
That was great, yeah.
Because some of the crew didn't speak English and some of the crew didn't speak Japanese, so it's good for the few of us
well,
to
it's
speak
also
a little
good.
Bit of both.
Because sometimes you'll see somebody who's speaking in a different language phonetically, and they
yes.
know what they're... They know what it sounds like that they're speaking, have no idea what they're saying, though.
Right. No, yes, they both speak Japanese.
That's great. The shoot was 4 days, you said.
Yes.
And then how long did it take from the end of the shoot to the finished product?
It took about a year because we had to raise money for post-production. So, we had to get back and then go through all of our dailies and make a trailer. And then with the trailer, we were able to raise the funds pretty quickly. But then we had to do a lot of color correction and, all of the work that goes into post.
So now, as you're filming, you're the director, you came up with the story, your writers were probably there on the set with you.
She was not. She did not
she
come
wasn't.
With us. No.
Oh, wow. So she gave you a lot of trust.
She does. I mean, I think the fact that I wrote the story, came up with the story with her, she did give me creative license to say, if you need to make any changes, you can. But, of course, we didn't really want to do that too much because we had subtitles and, you know, Japanese language. We only made one change, I think, while we were on set regarding the script.
That's fortunate because you basically are going to another country hoping that everything is going to work.
Yes.
And then if some kind of a technical or location issue happens...
Yes. Yeah, and we actually did a little tip that I had gotten beforehand, which was really useful, is that because we were shooting on location, you know, we had a boom and lavaliers, but we also were given the tip to just shoot everything indoors. So whenever we had a break or we were setting up for a new shot or setting up the dolly, I would just get the actors in the van or inside the little structure that we had to just record the whole script because you never know, you know, what was going to happen outside. And it turns out we had a very loud owl that we didn't know about until we got home, that he thought he had lines throughout the whole movie. We knew we had an ambulance often, because apparently we were like, are we near a hospital? I mean, we were heard about 10 ambulances a day. And we also had very loud crows. So they were hard in post to sort of work around, and those were not things that we really noticed while we were on set. So again, it was good we had some of the coverage for the audio.
So something like that, you... dub the audio over, just for people out there that don't know the technical way of doing this.
Actually, some of the owls are in there, especially when she's looking at the moon. Those owls we couldn't get rid of easily. So the ones that we were able to sort of gloss over and use, you know, Foley or, yeah, bring in some other audio. But everything we could easily fix, we did. If it was too hard, we just, all right, owl, you're in. You're adding to the atmosphere. Congratulations, you've got lines.
It's funny. One of the other people I was talking to, I had seen his film, and there was a Mr. Softy truck that was a number of times, and I asked the question. He says, oh, no, we wanted that in. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So some of the background sounds are meant to be there, and some,
yes,
you know, have to be deleted.
Yes.
So now you were saying this is a film. You said you were working on TV,
mm-hmm,
and you've also... been in theater.
Yes, I started out in theater, yes.
So what do you like the best? What do you think is the most challenging?
Oh, they're all so different. You know, part of the reason I like directing is that you get to have your hand in everything, you know, with the costumes and the musicality of a story and the textures and the acting. I really like it all, which is why I really like being a director. I think that with theater, you sort of tell the audience where to look, and I think with film, you kind of tell the audience how to look at something. So they're just very different. With theater, I really love working with the actors and discovering things together. I mean, you have 6 weeks to, you know, have rehearsals for a 2 week run of a show,
right,
and you get to fine tune and tweak and shape and all come to that together. And with film, you don't get that. You don't get the actors until the end. So that, for me, is hard because I really love working with actors. And I love what they have to add to the story. So it's a bit of a backwards process, but, you know, ultimately it's still storytelling, so...
So now the story came from Mr. Linney's...
Yes.
Have you spoken to Laura, or...?
I haven't. You know, I mean, she's probably pretty hard to get to. I would love to just let her know that, say, hey, your father really inspired me. I don't know how to get to her. I don't want anything from her, but it would be nice to say, here's a copy of the film, and...
I wish I had met you yesterday. I saw her in the theater yesterday.
What?
I went
no.
to see Boys in the Band, and she was online to pick up her
had
ticket.
I
could not believe this.
I don't know. I know that she's involved in a theater in New York, so maybe at some point I'll
and her
send
father's
her a copy.
Theater is
yes.
in the Signature Theater,
right,
named after
I mean,
him.
I guess I could always send her agent a Blu-ray, but I would like to just send her a letter and say, because he's really done a lot. I mean,
yes.
He's not, you know, famous, but I mean, he's really contributed significantly to the world of theater, and yeah, a lot of people.
Well, enough to have
him.
His name on a theater in
absolutely.
The signature.
Absolutely.
That's just, I cannot believe that happened.
I know.
That one day, 12 hours too late.
I know. Too bad.
Because I had seen her in the West End. She did her first West End show in 2 months ago, and I went and saw it.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Well, maybe you'll see her next, and then you'll have a funny story.
I will,
to tell her.
And I'll give me your card, so I'll just carry it around, just in case. So what's next for you? Tell us.
So, these movies with Felina. I'm looking a little bit into possibly directing television. We'll see. But right now, yeah, I'm going full force with finishing the festival circuit with Path of Dreams. We'll go through this winter. We're going heading to Amsterdam next week. And, yeah, I've got these two features ready to go. But the one we're writing now might end up being the one that we do first. We'll see. But.
And you've done other festivals.
Yes.
You grew up in Forest Hills, so you're familiar with the Midway? Or?
Yes, it's where I used to go in high school with my friends, of course. It's my hometown theater. It's awesome.
Now it's a multiplex, yes. So it's not but the screen is beautiful. Have you seen this film on a big screen yet? Or?
Yes. I actually saw it at LA Live about 6 weeks ago in LA, which I think was the biggest screen we've been on. It's pretty cool.
I cannot wait to see the colors up on a big screen.
Yeah, they were very important to our storytelling, and the kimonos sort of have their own color story. So, yeah, I'm excited because, yeah, the colors are important to the story. So I'm glad you picked up on that and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the flowers, the colors of the kimonos, even just her putting her feet into the sandals.
You know, it's interesting because I'm not Japanese, I get different reactions to telling a Japanese story. And the DP that we used, Yoshihisa Toda, works a lot in Tokyo. He speaks English, and he's young. He's in his 30s. And when I first met him, we just had such a connection. And he said, thank you for wanting to tell a Japanese story. And he's Shinto. So that means that they believe that God is in all of nature. It's in everything. So I think he really appreciated that I wanted to celebrate nature and to highlight nature, because this world is a world of poetry, so we wanted to show the world as Komachi sees it and not a realistic way. So I think that the love that we all have for nature and for the colors really does come through in the film.
And it's a poetry story, but it's a wonderful love story also. Mm-hmm. How love blossoms.
Yes.
Which with the cherry blossoms and everything is a wonderful image.
Yes.
Of love blossoming.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you picked up on that. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you. Any advice to anybody out there? Or?
Oh, my goodness. Just put one foot in front of the other, and eventually, if you keep going, it will come together.
And the world?
Not a task for the faint-hearted, for sure.
And everybody, it's the whole world. You can basically, you can make a film anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And tell a story of any kind of culture or any place in the world.
Yes, and it's exciting to be able to bring a Japanese story. I mean, the producer that I worked with, Komori of 11 Arts, he makes films all the time in Japan, and this was the first short that 11 Arts has worked on. And I think we just bonded over our love of really wanting to bridge cultures through filmmaking. So I hope it was successful.
Well, thank you so much. It really was. And see the film today, August 8th at 3 p.m. at the UA Midway.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And before we leave, I'd like to thank our wonderful sponsors, Blog Talk Radio, for providing an excellent platform for our podcast. I'd also like to thank Ateez Cafe in Kew Gardens. They make organic coffee and tea and some wonderful baked goods. And they are our official festival lounge. That's where we're actually broadcasting this, taping this. And so just for a reminder with the Ateez, all ticket holders and badge holders get 10% off on their coffee and baked goods now through August 12th, which is the end of our festival. Our festival has been going on since August 3rd, and we've had some wonderful, wonderful movies and events. But there are more. So for more information on how you can purchase tickets to the festival, check out our full line of films and events. Please visit our website, www.kewgardensfestivalofcinema.org. That's KEW, not Q. And I'm Craig Horsley signing off. Thank you so much.